Good morning. Welcome to worship here in St. Mark's. I'm so glad that you could join us this day. Today we're reflecting and rejoicing about how it is that the Son of God has set us free and the significance for our lives because of that. I might just stand as we begin our service, as we always do, remembering whose we belong to, having been claimed in the waters of holy baptism, and beginning in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
My dear friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you on our celebration of Reformation Day, Lord, that we get to gather here in your church, in your presence, Lord, where the gospel is spoken, where forgiveness is received, and Lord, where we hear of how we are saved by grace, and where we hear from Scripture, Lord, of your revelation and how you feel about us, Lord, and all you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us this morning. Send your Spirit to work in our hearts so that we may continue to grow in faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's sing to our God.
Thank you. let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come. Father, let your kingdom come.
Holy, holy.
Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven.
Let it be done.
Let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven, right here in my heart.
Hearing
us this day our daily bread, forgive us as we forgive the ones who sin against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but
good morning. My name is Josh Landgraf. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's, and the first reading is from Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, my friends. I am going to be here today, so if you can sit where you can see me, because I have some things I'm going to ask you to do. And everybody's going to need to watch. I know, it's kind of ringy, isn't it? So did you guys hear Mr. Landgraf read the first Bible reading? And it was about the armor of God. Have you heard about that before? Well, it kind of made me think Veterans Day is coming up in a couple weeks, and I thought about the military, and I thought, I wonder if you guys want to be in God's army. How many of you want to be in God's army? Okay, so what happens in the military is they train you and they tell you things you need to know and how you should act, and then you have an inspection before you actually go to battle. So we're going to see if you're ready to be in God's army. And all these people out here, they're going to get to choose when you're all done. They're going to get to choose to say whether you're ready or not ready yet. So are you ready to take your test? All right. So I'm going to sit down right here. And the first thing is, hello, sweetheart. Hello. If you know for sure that Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sins, I want you to put your hands right here over your head, kind of like you're making a hat, and I want you to say, Jesus died for me. All right, you've got your helmet of salvation. Good job. If you are sure, absolutely sure, that your sins are forgiven, I want you to take your hands, put them over your chest like this, and say, I am God's child.
I am God's child.
You have the breastplate of righteousness. Good job. If you are absolutely sure that everything in the Bible is true, I want you to take a pretend belt and I want you to wrap it around your waist and I want you to tie it and I want you to say, God's word is true.
God's word is true.
You have the belt of truth. Now, if you are absolutely sure that God is going to help you with all your problems, I want you to put one of your hands right out there in front of you, kind of blocking things that are coming toward you, and I want you to say, God will protect me. You have your shield of faith. This one is a little bit tricky. If you are sure that arguing and name-calling and pushing and shoving is not a good way to solve problems, I want you to stand up and I want you to tiptoe in place, really gently tiptoe. Because you know what you have? Your feet have on the shoes of the gospel of peace. I have one more thing we need to check. If you are absolutely sure that God can overcome all evil, I want you to grab your sword. I want you to put it up in the air. And I want you to say, the victory belongs to God. And you may sit down. And now I'm going to ask them whether they think you are ready to be part of God's army. So if you think these young men and women are ready to go to battle for the Lord, would you give them a round of applause? Awesome! Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Good job. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for equipping these young men and women to be part of your army here on earth. We praise you, God, that Jesus, your Son, has won the victory for us. And it's in his name we pray. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen. Now you may walk. down the aisle if you would like to go to little worship. Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good. I thought I was going to have to hold her. We'll see how that goes. But I don't think you'd listen to anything I'd say at that point. But, excuse me. Still got a little tickle in my throat. So we'll see how today goes. Just doesn't want to go away. Anyway, so as was mentioned before, today we are observing and celebrating Reformation Sunday. And so this is remembering the day that Martin Luther posted the 95 theses, 95 statements that he was articulating as true. And at the heart of those statements really was the concept of slavery and freedom. Not slavery in the sense of one person owning another, but rather slavery in that an individual being held captive. And in many ways held captive by lies and false beliefs. Martin Luther had an interesting life. His father wanted him to be a lawyer. And so first he went off to university to do that, but he got drawn first to philosophy, of all things, and liked that path instead. And then while he was traveling, as the story goes, there was a lightning bolt that struck very close to him, and he was petrified. So he cried out to St. Anna, if you save me, I'll become a monk. And he survived. So he was good on his word. His father was very disappointed at all the waste of education that had happened. But he went on to become a monk. And while he was studying as a monk, he was incredibly zealous for trying to follow God well. Now, I think it's worth noting that the concept that was being taught by the church of what grace is, what it means, was a little bit different than perhaps how I hope you have heard it in life. I'm going to go with this metaphor because I'm enough of a nerd that this appeals to me. But imagine, a bit like Mario, you have a block above your head. And God desires, in order for you to be in favor with God, you have to break that block. Bear with me. Sorry, I'm just a big nerd. Anyway, but the problem is that you can't because of your sin. That's a problem. Now, the teaching on grace that was being perpetuated was that by Jesus dying on the cross, that meant you could have the capacity, you could have the strength to break that block, but you just have to work really hard at it. But because of Jesus dying for you, that meant you were infused with grace, and that meant you could do it. You just had to work real hard at it. But the problem is your sin still kind of remains, so you have a weight on you, like, I want to jump at that block, but this weight of sin is just crushing me down, and so you had to atone for the sin that you had to kind of be set right, and then you had to work real hard, get real strong. Maybe someday I can jump high enough to break that block. Hopefully that's sounding a little bit different than what you're used to for hearing what grace is. But see, Martin Luther was so obsessed with this concept of wanting to be in right with God and believing that he himself was the one who had to do it, that he would do above and beyond what was called satisfactions. That is, when you did something wrong, in addition to saying, I've done wrong and admit it, you usually had to do some kind of a penance, whether it was saying the right prayers or he would often go the route of flogging himself, really feeling the pain. But as he was reading in the Bible God's truth, the Word of God, he came to understand, realize that that was not the way that God operates in the world. That's not the system that God has set up in place. And most importantly, that's not what Jesus did by dying on the cross. Jesus' death didn't just mean that it atoned for just your original sin and now you have to pay for your own sin. Rather, the reality is you can't. No amount of good things that you do will ever be enough of a payment for your sin. And God knew that, so he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross. And that was the atoning sacrifice for your sin. That was the accepted payment that God received for the sin of the whole world. And Martin Luther is coming to realize this as he's reading God's word. And so he decides to articulate this. As well, as part of the system of you have to earn your own way, there was a, I'll call it what it is, a taking advantage of people and their finances by saying you could pay for an indulgence, a piece of paper, that then by paying for this piece of paper, some of your sins would be not credited to you anymore. And in fact, it was even propagated that you could buy a piece of paper on behalf of your dead relatives who are right now just hanging out in this place called Purgatory, awaiting for all their sins to be paid for. And Martin Luther in his 95 Theses addresses, this is not scriptural. This does not at all fit with God's word, God's truth. And it's a problem. And so the reason why we call it Reformation Day is because Martin Luther is trying to reform the Catholic Church. To say, hey, we've gotten a bit off of the right way of God. Let's try to get back to the way that God teaches things are. And so, on the last Sunday of October, we celebrate the start of the Reformation for Martin Luther. And Jesus very much cares about his followers, his disciples, being free and knowing the truth. In our reading for today, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, they were a bit confused by this. They've been tracking along with what Jesus had been saying to the best that they could. And they're believing what he's saying, but they're confused by this concept of freedom and slavery because they say, we are offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? But Jesus answers them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. A slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." You see, even though they were not enslaved to another human, the reality is that their sin remained within them. And by their sin, they were clouded in their judgment. By their sin, they were prone to doing what they ought not do, that which is contrary to God's desire for them. And in that way, they were a slave to their sin. Just as apart from God working on us, we are a slave to our sins. For our natural inclinations, following our sin is for our own selfish ambitions, our own desires, are not caring about other people and their needs, their desires, not caring really about God's will. But Jesus says, this is not the way it has to be. Jesus says that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Jesus has set you free. You do not have to be a slave to your sin anymore. You don't have to follow and dive right into the temptations that say, well, what about me? I want my way. I don't care what God's way is. It's interesting, as I was reflecting upon this sermon, the other thing that was occurring to me was thinking about one of the issues in Martin Luther's day was a confusion of what is truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. And yet in our day and age, there are so many entities who are asserting, we know the truth. Let us tell you what the truth is. Follow us because we know the way. And it gets confusing. Well, this sounds pretty much like the truth. They seem like good people who are trying to say this is the way you should live. But this way sounds a bit like the truth too. And these two parties seem completely at odds with each other. I'm confused on which way to go. Well, and all of these people seem to be perpetuating love. And love is good, right? Love comes from God. And it's difficult with so many voices crying out, this is what you need to believe, and this is what you need to stand for, and this is what you need to follow. It can be really hard to distinguish what is truth. Not even thinking about the fact that so many people in our day and age want to say, well, let's get rid of entirely the concept of truth. There's no truth that we can stand on. But we believe in one who has created all things, who has made each and every one of us, who has made the very thing you are sitting on, the building that you are in. Everything that exists that you know, that you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears, all of those things God has created. And as such, I think he has the right to assert this is truth. And what is more, he has given us his word. For the word of God is true. And it is by the word of God that we might know what we can have certainty with, what we can trust, what we can hope in, what is true. And as it's written earlier on in the book of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and without him, nothing was created that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the word of God. And if you want to know where you can stand, where you can find certainty, look to Jesus, the one who sets you free. For he has been from the beginning. Around us, there's so many lies, so much confusion, so much darkness. And yet, Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness and illuminates our path. You know, when Martin Luther was alive, the enemy wasn't actually the Catholic Church. It wasn't even the Pope at the time or other officials. No, as Paul says in his letter to the church in Ephesus, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And so too, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people, but rather our enemy is the devil and his minions. They who seek to confuse and distort and to darken. They who delight in confusion and chaos and lies. For the devil is the father of lies. Now you look at what he does. He likes to take the truth and ever so slightly twist it so you go, wait, that sounds almost true. Could that be true? And these are his methods. And you combat that by knowing so with certainty the truth that you can say, nope, that is half a degree off from the truth. How important it is to know fully the knowledge of your salvation, to be protected with your righteousness. I really enjoyed Mrs. Armbruster's children's message. That was good. I wasn't even go there, but I love it. Being equipped with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. As well, like how our first hymn, our song that we sang at the beginning, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. The third verse really emphasizes this spiritual battle so much. Though all the world should devils fill, all eager to devour us, we do not need to fear. For God has given us his champion who has already defeated the devil, already defeated sin, already defeated death. By his death on the cross and his resurrection. So that we can name exactly who the enemy is. And though by ourselves we cannot defeat such an enemy, we do not need to fear this enemy. For us fights the valiant one, the Son of God. He who has given us his Holy Spirit, who is in us, who helps us. As we are striving to follow where God leads. So as you go out this week, rejoice in the knowledge that your enemy has been defeated. Rejoice in the knowledge that you know the truth and that the Son has set you free, that you are no longer a slave to the sins that otherwise would tempt you, but that God has equipped you, that God has empowered you. And by his Spirit, you can follow the way in which God desires for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us in Holy Scripture using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. My dear friends, as we come into our time of prayer this morning, we want to remember Jeff Wunderlich in particular, who's having foot surgery on Thursday. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for the incredible grace that you have shown all of us, Lord, in your death and resurrection, Lord, in your daily provision, in your incredible care that we receive every single day, Lord, things that we don't even recognize, things that we don't even notice, Lord, but you are faithful. You are faithful to your people. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us opportunities, Lord, today to return thanksgiving and praise for all that you have done for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us and give us opportunities and make us aware, Lord, of the opportunities around us where we can now pass that love that we have received on to others, that we may love our neighbor, Lord, because we love you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every single one of us in all the difficulties and struggles that we face in life, Lord, whether they be financial, relational, Lord, whether they be struggles in health, Lord. Today we pray especially for Jeff, Lord, as he is going into surgery. Please be with him and help him, Lord, to be able to have this surgery, let it go well and recover quickly. Lord, I pray that you would be with everybody, Lord, as we go through so many struggles in so many different ways, Lord. But help us to be able to remember in the middle of the difficulty, when things are hardest, that we are never alone, that you walk with us, that you carry us, give us strength, that you rejoice with us, Lord, but you also cry with us in the difficult times, that our pain is not meaningless to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that as we overcome and as we live through the difficult times of life, that we would be willing and that we would share, the things that we have learned through that difficult time, that we would be able to share with people who are going through similar situations, the grace that you have shown us when we went through that time, so that we can mutually encourage one another, Lord, and continually direct each other to you and to your love and to your grace, your forgiveness, your provisions, so that our faith will not fail. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with all the families of our congregation. Lord, you have given us so many people to love, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do it faithfully, Lord, that we would pray for each other, that we would pray for our children, our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, that we would continually, Lord, bring these people that we love to you in prayer so that they can, Lord, receive the blessings that you say you do not have because you do not ask. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our congregation, Lord, as we work and as we reach out to the community, as we reach out to the people that you have given us to love. Lord, I pray that you would once again give us opportunities, remind us of those opportunities, and then provide us, Lord, with all that we need so that we can do your work in this world, all the while, Lord, proclaiming your grace, your gospel, your forgiveness. All this, Lord, we bring before you in your name, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
turns his face away, as wounds which mourn the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold,
well, my friends, once again, our God has met us here. We've come to his table, not because we deserved it, but because he is so gracious, loving, forgiving, and he paid the penalty so that we don't have to. He gives us his perfection in place of our sin. He loves us so much that he gives us this meal to strengthen our faith, to deliver to us once again, just in case you haven't got it yet, you are forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven. Jesus paid the penalty. He tells us over and over again every Sunday morning. And because we know his promise is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Thank you.
days may be darkest, but your light is greater. You light our way, God, you light our way. When evil is rising, you're rising higher, with power to save, with power to save. You keep hope alive, you keep hope alive, from the beginning to end, your word never fails. You keep hope alive, because you are alive, Jesus, you are alive. Death had a stronghold, but your life was strong.
Have a seat real quick here. We got some announcements. First of all, don't forget time change is coming. Yeah, my wife will remember for me, so that'll work out. Let's see here. Don't forget to join us for our family meeting that's coming up on November 17th. Usually it's going to be right here after worship service. Very important actually to be part of the decision-making of the congregation and be informed on what we are doing together as a body. The temptation is always to let somebody else deal with that, but this is part of our living together as a body. So please do attend the meeting. And let's see here. This is the first day of communion training for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders and anybody who needs to be trained. We're going to be meeting up in the youth room for that. And then one other thing. If you guys look in your bulletin, there is an insert. Looks something like that. All right. Now, here's the deal. Some people are anxious because we're talking about voting in church. And that smacks of church talking about politics. And let me explain this. It's never been wrong for the church to talk about politics. It's wrong for the government to try to govern churches. You understand how this goes? That's how this works, is that when we vote, we are not just voting whatever we think. We vote God's will. Let me read to you. Ephesians chapter 5, ready? Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. How many opportunities? Thank you. Because the days are evil. Sound right? Therefore, do not be foolish. But here's the opposite of being foolish. But understand what the Lord's will is. Right? And so the way it works is this. We live out our lives in every way in keeping with God's will because he is our God and we belong to him. Right? And so if we're going to, there's a really important ballot item in Missouri right now, pushing or trying to take all the limits off of abortion. And it's pretty bad. And so what I want you to do is this piece of paper here will help you to know what God's will is. You understand? And so please don't neglect to make the most of the opportunity to try to save as many babies as we can, and honestly, to properly love and care for mothers as well. All right? And so this is a really big deal. All right, with that then, I think that's everything I got for you this morning. So God's blessings on your week, and I will meet you in the back.